I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time to become a part of time.
Everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. I think we've got a pretty interesting show in store for you this evening. And it'll be jam-packed with information as usual. And the main theme for tonight's program will be about water and earth. Although, it'll be with the ET Yoga spin on it. And I sure hope you find something new in tonight's program that you didn't know before, or a new perspective of how to look at something that you already knew. Because certainly in preparing for the program this evening, I certainly learned a few things. And before we get into the heart of the matter, I'd like to give my usual disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET Yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET Yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And during the course of the week, I've come across a couple of items that I wanted to share with everyone this evening. First off, I saw a video. It's about an hour and a half in length on YouTube, and it is Barbara Marciniak and doing a channeling from the Pleiadians. And for those that are not familiar with Barbara Marciniak, she's one of my favorite authors, and goes way back to the book Bringers of the Dawn. And Bringers of the Dawn is a book that I highly, highly recommend for anyone interested in this whole area of extraterrestrial information. And in fact, I call it the classic text on extraterrestrial points of view, especially around the concept that thought creates. And in that regard as well, being an ET Yoga, the classic yoga text, in my view, is Paramahansa Yogananda's Autobiography of a Yogi. So if you haven't seen either of those two books, I highly recommend them. Also, of course, Bashar is quoted a lot on ET Yoga. And here's another gem from Bashar. There is only the understanding of the thing that needs to be taught to every child on the planet, and that is the knowledge that every single individual on this planet is already powerful as she or he needs to be to create any reality desired without having to hurt yourself or anyone else to get it. That's how powerful you are. Bashar always seems to come up with very eloquent sayings. And moving into the topic tonight, surrounding this whole concept of water and earth, I'm going to start off with the water part and also share with you a bit of a channeling from Archangel Michael that said, if you drink fresh and clear water from the earth, you will immediately notice the difference to bottled water or treated water. And I'd like to really concur with that because over the course of time, I've become really aware about the water that I drink. The very best water that I've ever had was actually in Romania, near Brasov, Romania. And I used to go up in the mountains about every 10 days and bring back all the water I needed for the next 10 days. And the people that drank that water, many of them, have fantastic stories about curing all sorts of physical ailments. And recently, Andrew Bartzes, the galactic historian, stated that what he called structured water has the capacity to cure all disease. And I assume by structured, he means water that is moving, as in a spring or a river. And obviously, that was the most natural form of water that originally was available on the planet. And I'm going to begin sort of the general topic about water with sort of my take on the subject, which is that food and water are the basics in my point of view, and wherever I move to, that's the first thing that I try to get a good handle on. In other words, where's my water coming from? What's the quality of the water? And similarly with food. And one of the things that's become really obvious because of the amazing discoveries by a man called Masaru Emoto, and he has a book out called The Power of Water. He's made some amazing discoveries concerning water. The most amazing one that I think stands out is the fact that water has a consciousness, and that it is a perfect reflection of consciousness as well. And I've mentioned this to a couple of people that didn't really get the idea, but when they went on their internet and searched for information concerning Masaru Emoto and the power of water, and they could actually see how emotions molecularly changed the water, it was very convincing to many people, and of course everyone not to be convinced. However, if you take a look and at the website of Masaru Emoto, and that's Emoto, you'll see that very positive, loving emotions produce these really beautiful, almost snowflake-like crystals in the water, and that negative emotions produce these really ugly-looking, awkward shapes. And a fantastic discovery. And to my way of thinking, it has a very practical application as well. And that practical application is because we're mostly water. And if you take another look at some of the more recent scientific discoveries concerning the neural center in the heart, or sometimes what's called the brain in the heart, you will find that we emit an energy field about 10 feet from the human body. And this heart center, based on our emotions, actually has a magnetic attraction that's 5,000 times stronger than that of the brain. And it has been deduced that it is this emotional energy that interfaces with the morphogenetic field which creates our version of reality. And I would go one step farther to say that the same way that positive or negative emotion affects drinking water also affects our own personal water. So our emotional state is constantly affecting our being. And one of Bashar's statements is that outer circumstances don't matter, only a state of being matters. And in fact, he also says that that's actually a communication to and from your higher self in language that the rational mind can understand. So outer circumstances don't matter, only state of being matters. Not to minimize the importance of outer circumstances, but to place the focus on the fact that it is emotional content that interfaces with the morphogenetic field, creating new realities. And again, this relates directly to our emotional well-being and also the waters of the body. So to my way of thinking, it's highly, highly important that we try to acquire the best possible water. And also there have been some very interesting experiments by a number of people. And the effect, let's say, of classical music like Bach and Beethoven on water has a very positive effect on the water as well. And as a technique, I try to play Bach and Beethoven music around water, my drinking water. And I use a Berkey filter and just put it near the player that's playing the music and let it absorb those positive vibrations. Other things that you can do, if you happen to have any yogic yantras or crop circles, you can place those around the water as well, because it picks up on everything. Written messages, verbal content, emotional influence, etc. And we also have information from the Pleiadians, who basically use this analogy, that if you take regular tap water and place a lot of high positive emotional vibration into it, apparently you can get some pretty good water. If you took the same effort and placed it on a higher quality water, one that's been run through a filter, you'll end up with even a higher quality. So the fluoride, for example, that's in a lot of the drinking water, especially in North America, for example, I know in Romania, fluoride was not in the drinking water, nor is it in most places in Europe. However, in America, fluoride is very prevalent, and in my opinion, it's just toxic waste that somehow, over the course of time, is being put in water for no real benefit. And I don't buy the claims that it actually prevents cavities, etc. In fact, I've seen some charts where the most highly fluoridated areas on a scale of 1 to 100, if you match them all up, the areas that were least inundated with fluoride actually have the least amount of cavities, and it almost lines up perfectly to the most has actually more cavities. And I think even the proponents of that concept years ago was only related to children. I think 12 and under was their claim, although I've never really seen that there's ever been any real proof of that. One of the things we do know is that toxic waste is not good. And it also has a sort of a metallic aspect to it as well. So these are things that are inharmonious to the human system. Now, interestingly enough, Dr. Emoto, in another one of his experiments, he placed portions of cooked rice into two containers. And on one container, he wrote, "Thank you." And on the other, he wrote, "You fool." He then instructed school children to say the labels on the jars out loud every day when they passed by them. And after 30 days, the rice in the container with positive thought had barely changed, while the other was moldy and rotten. I find that to be another very interesting experiment. And I wasn't aware of this, but actually Dr. Emoto also has come up with some very interesting positive thinking activities. And one of them, he suggests, is the principle of be, do, have. And most of us follow an illogical path to fulfillment, according to Emoto. We spend our lives chasing external things to make us happy. And we imagine that if we could just have more time, money, or love, for example, then we would finally be able to do the things that we want to do, like cook more, relax more, or, you know, work in the profession that we enjoy, or even go back to school. And in our mind's eye, we think about how we'll feel doing these activities and tell ourselves that this is when we'll finally be who we want to be, whether that's happy, loving, successful, or peaceful. And he claims that the truth is that havingness doesn't lead to beingness. It's the other way around. We must be who we want to be before we can have the material manifestations that accompany that state. And he gives us an example. Let's take the case of someone who is lonely and wants to find their soulmate. And in their mind, they may be saying, if I could meet the person of my dreams, that's the have part, I would then dress sexy and go out more, that's the do part, because I'd be so happy and fulfilled, that's the be part. The truth is, as many of us have experienced, it's not until you decide you are happy in your current state, that's the be part, and start dressing sexy, even if it is just for yourself, that's the do part, that you finally, as if by magic, land the love of your life, and that's the have part. So he says, go straight to being who you want to be, and do this by first contemplation of what you would be like if you had what you so badly desire. Then be it now, and fake it till you make it. This is the process of creation and will help you manifest your desires more quickly. And thanks to Emoto for some wise words. Now, interestingly enough, when we start talking about the whole concept of water, and especially with the ET yoga spin on water, what comes to my mind is also what lives in the water. And according to the Andromedans, in our galaxy, dolphins and whales definitely are in the water, and they're honored as sentient animals. They are brilliant philosophers and poets. They have the admiration of many of the old races for their beautiful songs and storytelling, and they have legendary stories of the whale dream, which is the cetacean race memory. Whales and dolphins originated in Cygnus Alpha, and the largest population of whale and dolphins' life is right here. And when they birth the young, they teach them the song, and the song is the story of their lineage and the history that they have learned of the home world that they are on. I find dolphins and whales a fascinating subject. And according to Drunvalo Melchizedek, the most intelligent, advanced, oldest life form on this planet is the whales. Next are the dolphins, and then humans. We think we're the most advanced, but the whales and dolphins are far, far beyond us. We think we're the most advanced because we can create external things. That, however, is an impact of the Lucifer rebellion brought from Mars. The most advanced life forms do not create externally. They create everything they need internally. The whales have been on this planet conscious and alive for 500 million years, and they hold the memory of the planet. That is what the movie Star Trek IV was all about. Without the whales, we would have no memory. We would be lost. The dolphins have been around here for at least 35 million years. They even came out and walked on land for a while and decided against it. Dolphins' flippers have hands inside them, human-like hands. These creatures are amazingly aligned with humans. They are mammals, not fish, and both sides of their brains function at 100%. When they sleep, they turn off half their brain. We have only half of our brain working at any time, and the other half is shut down. Of the half that is on, only about 5 to 10% is used. So from the dolphin perspective, we are not only asleep, we are also unconscious. And when we mindlessly slaughter whales and dolphins here for their flesh, many of them automatically incarnate in their simultaneous bodies in the star system of Sirius. And that's information from Drunvalo Melchizedek. Now, his position on this actually is totally supported by Bashar, and the following information comes from Bashar. And he says, from our perspective, your planet has two, not one, two alien species upon it, land human and water cetacean, dolphin and whale. The idea is that you are reincarnationally interchangeable. Many individuals that you understand as humans have had dolphin lives. And many individuals you understand as dolphins have had human lives. These ideas have gone on for many thousands of your years of counting and have been forgotten by the human species upon your planet for many thousands of years and are now being remembered by your species. Your dolphin has never forgotten and has, from time to time, endeavored to interact with you on the only level that you would allow such action to take place, as a mass consciousness, as a society, and that is in your dream realities, in your dream states, where you are more open to telepathic transmissions and to telepathic communication. Because of the way that you have created your society to be so highly focused within its consciousness, many times you will not allow those levels of communication to occur within you in a conscious state. So when you are in an unconscious state, you do open up many of these areas of communication. You do drop many of the shields and the filters and the barriers that your society has constructed around your consciousness and do allow such communication to take place so that they will not have completely lost touch with you, so that you will not have completely lost touch with them. Now, dolphin consciousness, while very active in the dream reality that you understand to be your dream reality, also understand dream reality to be quite a different thing from the dolphin perspective. Some of what you all and some of our writers and artists upon this planet And these individuals who simply have allowed themselves to be sensitive to the idea have, as you say, telepathically picked up upon the notion that dolphin and whale consciousness is very intertwined with dream reality. When we talk about dream reality, we are not talking about what is unreal. For to us, dream reality is very real, and in many ways is actually more real than what you call physiological reality. In many cases, what you term physical reality is actually very much more the dream than what you call the dream reality. The idea is that you are a non-physical consciousness to begin with. In a sense, you are already spirit. Now, there is, to paraphrase a quotation that exists upon your planet, an idea that can perhaps help underline and illustrate this best. We perceive that the information from some individuals that exist on your planet could be formulated in the following way. You are not human beings having a spiritual experience. You are spiritual beings having a human experience. Dolphins are spiritual beings having a dolphin experience, and we are spiritual beings having a Sasani experience, for that is the name of our civilization. We are all the same type of spirit. We simply manifest ourselves in various ways according to the different ways that a spirit can manifest itself within the dimension you call physiological reality. But all of these manifestations in physiological reality are simply contained within the overall ability of spirit to manifest in any way, shape, or form it can imagine itself to be. The spirit level, this spirit dimension, is more truly the natural dimension in which you exist. And on that level is where you are truly interconnected with your dolphin species, your co-inhabitants upon your planet. Now, this dream time, the idea that you call dream reality, that is where, in a sense, you are. Now, I should say, you go back to when you create an unconscious state for yourself physiologically. You begin to pull yourself back into the idea of dream time, which is your natural state. There is not the notion of time and space so much in the same way in dream time as it is in physiological reality. So you are very strongly, telepathically interconnected and interwoven with many other levels of spirit in that reality. And therefore, the dolphins have never forgotten this and have never separated themselves truly from it in their conscious recognition. Even though they project themselves on a physiological way, they have, as you say, remained in touch. So dream time for them and for certain members of your human species is a very real reality and not something that they consign to non-reality. You have in your society the idea that something is, quote, just, as you say, just in your language, just in your imagination, as if it is not real in that way. There may be certain things that you call fantasies that are not necessarily immediately applicable to your physiological dimension, not necessarily immediately needed to be realized or manifested physically, but that does not mean that they are not real. You cannot imagine non-existence. Anything your imagination can conceive of is somewhere, somehow, somewhen, on some level of dimensionality of real reality to someone, an experiential reality to someone. The only real difference between what you call physical reality and dream reality is that you have the definition that physical reality is much more real than the dream reality. And because you have given it that definition, it seems to be so isolated and different from what you call a dream. and therefore you have the actual polarity appearance of your dreams being less real. This idea is what the dolphin consciousness is attempting to assist you with, to realize that by acting within your dreams with you, by interacting with you, they are allowing you bit by bit to realize that your physical reality is just a dream in that sense. But that is what reality is, and you can create that reality to be any type of reality you wish, that you can have the dream you prefer rather than continuing as you have for thousands of years to assume that your physical reality is something that you really have no control over, that it is simply the way it is, and that you have to settle for the idea of suffering and the pain which you have experienced in your life. All the notions of suffering and pain that you have experienced in your life are simply from the definitions that your society has given the physical reality. The dolphin consciousness basically lives in ecstasy, and they would desire that you learn that as well. Dolphin consciousness also transfers itself to many different realms, just as you do, but again, they are conscious of it, while you are mostly unconscious of doing it. They also inhabit many dimensional realms and interact telepathically with many other civilizations and have been doing so for quite some time. Also, they have, now that you are exploring the idea of your higher self as you expand your consciousness outward, now that you realize that you have a higher self, dolphins have a manifestation and physiological manifestation of their higher self right on your own planet, and it is called the whale. The idea of a whale is that it is representative of an oversoul and many dolphin souls combined into one higher self. Well, from my point of view, that's a lot of interesting information about whales and dolphins. And certainly a lot of food for thought. And another kind of interesting thing that's kind of happening around the Earth are a lot of these new archaeological finds. And shifting now from the concept around water to the concept of Earth, it's interesting to note that a Ukrainian scientist has discovered the oldest pyramid in the world. And guess where that is? It's in Crimea. And Vitaly Goh discovered the underground unknown object, which proved to be a giant pyramid of 45 meters in height and a length of 72 meters. And Goh said the pyramid was built during the time of the dinosaurs. It has a truncated top, like a Mayan pyramid, but its appearance is more like an Egyptian. It is hollow inside, and a mummy of an unknown creature is buried under the foundation, and it has a crown on its head. Now, the majority of scientists consider that underground pyramids of Sevastopol confirm the guess of American scientists that about 65 million years ago, an ancient civilization died out because of the fall of a giant meteorite. They also found that from the top of the structure, three beams of energy emanated at frequencies 900 by 109 hertz, 700 by 109 hertz, and 500 by 109 hertz. And around the pyramid, a field of 10 by 109 hertz was noticed. And the discovery also found seven other pyramids. And one of the pyramids was located underwater near the city of Foros. And they estimate there are 30-odd pyramids in the country. And according to Goh, and this is pretty amazing, there are 144,000 pyramids on the Earth, varying in size and location. and the basic pyramids were grouped in 12 places on all populated continents. And all the pyramids were connected by power channels to other pyramid fields and to the crystal nucleus of the Earth, which controlled the operation of the system. 12 basic groups of pyramids control in turn another 12 smaller groups. And to throw in some math, 12 times 12 is 144, times 1,000 equals 144,000. And in case you are wondering, each of the 144 basic pyramids controls the operation of another 1,000 pyramids. Now, if that isn't fascinating enough, according to channeling by Foss, 44 of these pyramids are in the Crimea. And he says what Goss is saying is true. Later civilizations, still very ancient, used some of these pyramids as relay stations for their own cultural purposes. And since some of these were in later periods, these beings from other worlds often freely walked among humans. And he says that the little being that's in the chamber of the one pyramid that was discovered was seen as an extraordinary being and from the heavens, so he was buried in a heavenly place. And according to Thoth, that being was not one of the original master builders of the pyramid, nor of their planet. And the question was asked of Thoth, well, why are so many of the pyramid radius matrix in the Crimea? And they also use PRM as an abbreviation for the pyramid radius matrix. And Thoth basically said that you need to understand that there are many more pyramids and other ancient structures, such as Stonehenge, active within the PRM, which is the pyramid radius matrix. And the 144,000 are the specific registers for the entire thresholding anchored in the Shambhala gate. The actual thresholding gates, which create the holographic field of the PRM, are among the 144,000, and he says that there are three on the planet, as he had previously stated. One of those is the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun. Then there's the White Pyramid of China, and a yet-to-be-excavated one in Egypt. And that these 44 in the Crimea are holding a specific pattern over an immense crystalline field beneath them. And it is part of the geology of terra firma. Now, I would have to say that that's pretty interesting information, considering all the attention that's been given to the whole area around the Crimea of late. And I guess if we were watching Stargate SG-1, maybe we would hear Samantha Carter suggest that maybe there's a connection here. And Jack O'Neill would probably say, do you think? And Till could probably say, indeed. Interesting stuff that all of a sudden all these pyramids show up in the Crimea. And apparently there's more pyramids per, I guess, square mile in that part of the planet than anywhere else. Kind of amazing stuff. So here we are, 2014, and all kinds of amazing archaeological finds are popping up all over the place, kind of throwing a skewer into the history that we've been taught, and opening up some amazing, amazing doors. And no doubt, some of those pyramids probably have some ancient technology there as well, probably of interest to a lot of people. So I thought that would be fitting to include this in this topic of ET yoga and water and earth. And I'd also like to take this opportunity to talk about some subjects that are at the ET yoga website that a lot of people don't seem to be aware of. And at the ET Yoga website, there is a free download there called The Root Cause of Disease. And I find that some people find that quite interesting because I think if you really truly understand how disease comes about, you have a better opportunity to deal with it. And I should also point out that my newest book, ET Yoga 2012 and Beyond, The True Nature of Reality, is also there. And I mentioned a few times that it's not really set up as most books that you think of with chapters and storylines. It basically is a combination of about 65 different articles on 65 different topics. And a lot of it's pretty cutting-edge information about the true nature of reality. And, of course, whenever I think about the true nature of reality, I always like to recommend to our listeners to check out the College of Christ Consciousness and the 21 Ultimate Truths of Reality. And you'll find that those are all centered around the whole concept of beliefs. And I don't find that that's a coincidence, because we have stated before on the show that some of the more current theories about our universe is that it's a holographic universe that functions pretty much like we're inside a giant computer, a virtual reality computer, if you like, and that the energy that the computer utilizes is consciousness, and that the program of understanding is belief. The language of understanding of the computer is belief. In very simplified terms, what you believe is. And that's one of the reasons why when I speak about ET yoga, if someone really wanted to, like, cut ET yoga into its very most concise part, I would say that's what it is, all about belief, that what you believe is, and that what you see in your outer world is a reflection of what you believe. And your outer reflection's not there to punish you, it's there to show you what you do believe, and also give you the opportunity to make changes if so desired. So the whole concept about ET yoga all comes from extraterrestrial information that thought creates, or that, if you like, emotion and thought create, or that belief creates, or, as I've mentioned before, and I'm really starting to like this whole concept about you can't have an experience if you're not the frequency of it. So you have to be a frequency match for anything that you're experiencing. It's another way that sometimes I find when I'm speaking to people that they finally, it clicks on the whole idea that, wow, how am I creating a frequency match for what am I, for what I'm experiencing? So that's where the whole concept comes into around what you put out is what you get back. the law of attraction, because you have to be a perfect frequency match for what you experience. And again, this has its positive ramifications if you start to get into the whole idea of reality creation, because you want to create the frequency and emotionally create the frequency. And the interesting thing about the way the whole system works from the universal intelligence field is that although we experience time linearly from our higher self's point of view and from the point of view of the universal intelligence field, all time is really irrelevant. It's all in the now. So there isn't a future reference point or a past reference point. It's all in the now. Or as Bashar would say, that everything is happening at once, but it's your perspective of how that's happening that either creates your perception of it. So interesting stuff on that count. Now, I also have an article called New Thinking to Solve Old Problems. And that new thinking involves things like economic systems of on other planets as well, and lots of new cutting-edge ideas in that article. I also have one that is called Miraculous Cures, and I just leave it up to, you know, the listeners to be attracted to what interests them. But as I look around in our society in 2014, especially in North America, reminds me of one of Einstein's comments that I believe he said something to the effect that insanity was doing the same thing over and over and over again, but expecting a different result. And as I look out and see the increased incidence, especially of things like cancer among young kids, and the autism rate that used to be 1 in 25,000. I mean, I've heard it's 1 in 50 or 1 in 25 and heading towards 1 in 10. I'm just makes my head spin that we have been so conditioned to believe in a system that obviously is not working. And as I pointed out at the top of the show, in the latest Barbara Marciniak channeling from the Pleiadians, she made an interesting comment that in about 10 years, according to her, more and more people will become aware of exactly the fallibilities and the current situations, motivations, etc., around the medical system, and that it will, in point of fact, flop. It'll be highly effective until that point, and then all of a sudden quickly take a big flop. Well, personally, I think that might be a good thing. Not to mention, another positive good thing could be a change from whatever sorts of monetary systems we're using, because look what we've created. We've created a power structure for a certain number of very small aspect of the people on this planet, and that basically controls everybody else, and all around paper money. And I really liked the analogy I heard once about a bunch of people who were on a deserted island. Maybe they were shipwrecked or deserted and lived on this deserted island. And after many, many, many years of successful living, somebody came up with the idea that of a piece of paper that they call money, and that we were supposed to spend all of our waking hours trying to accumulate as many of these pieces of paper as possible. Well, you know, on that island, I'm sure everybody would look at her and think that she had really lost it. And fits right in with Einstein's theory about insanity. And clearly, from what I understand, on about 22 other planets similar to the Earth. They don't use money systems. So it gives us something to think about. And in that light, I also highly recommend checking out Michael Tellinger. He's not only doing some amazing research over in Africa concerning archaeological finds at Adam's Calendar and also in other places in Africa, confirming much of Zechariah Sitchin's work with discovering Sumerian tablets, but he's also suggesting Ubuntu. And Ubuntu is certainly a topic to look into with respect to alternative lifestyles. And with respect to my article on miraculous cures, most people with certain issues might find it really worth a look. I should also say that I also have an article called The Secrets of Our Extraterrestrial Heritage. Now, if you've been a listener of ET Yoga since its inception, you've probably heard quite a bit of that. And it's one of the things that I've always said that on the planet Earth, we're kind of like orphans in that mainstream thought seems to indicate we don't know who our parents are or why we're here. And I think these are certainly questions that are being resolved by many. Even though still there's been no real official recognition of extraterrestrials. Another, what I find, really valuable chunk of information at dtyoga.com is techniques. And what I tried to do there was try to put together as many techniques as possible that would satisfy the needs of anybody who is really interested in doing techniques ranging from meditation, both with mantras and yantras, yantras being visual symbols, and as well, a complete breathing program as taught by Sri Swami Satchidananda. The techniques aspect also involves the Merkaba meditation. And for those who are interested in Merkaba technique, I think this is the most advanced version. And also interesting, and this goes way back to the Barbara Marciniak, Bringers of the Dawn, is that apparently a lot of people, you know, have asked the Pleiadians, you know, for a system of techniques that work. And so what they've offered basically is the Pillar of Light technique, the Pleiadian spinning techniques, and visualization techniques in conjunction with drinking pure water. So interesting that, again, water comes up as an important factor. And I've been doing those Pleiadian spinning techniques for a long time. And once you catch on to them, it's kind of like riding a bike or doing a headstand. And when you're first learning, maybe it's a little, you know, more difficult, but once you've done one, you just kind of do one after another. And the idea with the Pleiadian spinning techniques is rotation of the chakra centers, and it also results in your ability to receive more information, and helps to rebundle DNA, also creating a higher emotional frequency. And in that respect, the idea is to start off with the spinning techniques to be able to do 33 in one session and work up to 99 per day. And, of course, the claim in the book is that if you do 99 per day, we'll see how long you stay on the planet, or at least in this dimension. So I personally find that when it comes to techniques, the strongest ones are the ones that you have a resonance with, and to my way of thinking, hard to beat Palladian spinning and pillar of light techniques. And I've given them on the air before. I'm not going to go into the techniques tonight. And there's one other one that was the first time I really went through a doorway was the Ramana Maharshi Vichara technique, or commonly known as the Who Am I technique. Very powerful stuff, and all found at www.etyoga.com. And also there are some ebooks, and one's called Attaining Perfect Health for the Spiritual Seeker, and another called Maximizing Your Spiritual Growth for Householders. And householders was a term that was used among Swami Satchitananda's people to reflect people who were living married life, as opposed to the brahmachari or sannyasins that were single. And I've personally spent thousands of hours putting together those ebooks and also connecting them to about 150 pages of other information that they link to. And for the people that have read those, I've had very favorable feedback with respect to that information. Another one of the articles there is called Wizardry 101. And I think that one kind of speaks for itself. And, of course, over the course of time, there was the previous ET Yoga show, which I do now have 34 of those programs on a disc that I find the information is as current today as it was then. And I started doing this current version of ET Yoga, I think it was November or something like that. So I've done 7 or 8 of the new shows, and eventually we'll no doubt make these shows available as well. I also really enjoy my ET Yoga t-shirt, and that's also available at the site. And I'd like to certainly make mention of the fact that for those people who would like to make input into the ET Yoga show, I'm very open to suggestions concerning content that you'd like to hear about. I like to give my spin or my take on a certain subject, like tonight's topic was earth and water. So what you got out of a topic, if someone asked me about water, was what you heard on the air tonight. And something new that's happening on the earth, I connected to, like to share that information. So basically the whole concept about ET Yoga is I try to include lots of information in each show and try to keep it in a positive frame of reference, try to make it thought-provoking, and try to keep everything going in a positive direction. In other words, I think one of the lessons to learn is clearly to not go against the negative, but to try to create a new positive. And that would be in consistent nature with the whole idea of ET Yoga. And for those who are new to this whole program, ET Yoga, yoga in the sense that we talk about it on this show is union, and yoga meaning union of you and your higher self. And according to Bashar, our higher selves actually exist in a frequency that's just outside the time-space continuum, although in a very practical way is connected with our persona. And as he would state, that information of a creative nature all comes from higher self, and that the rational thinking mind is basically like a transformer of sorts of information, and that we actually are aware of events that we perceive as being in past tense. So according to Bashar, we've never really had a creative thought that doesn't come from higher mind, because the rational thinking mind is incapable of doing that. Another interesting connection there with Bashar would be that to put a positive spin on outer circumstances is one of the chief functions of the rational thinking mind. And of course, the benefit of that being that when you have an emotional reaction to something, it's because you've already placed a definition upon that event. And events don't come with built-in meaning. So by placing and being conscious of placing positive spin on external events, you can then create a positive experience. And this is all a part and parcel of reality creation. And as a last note concerning items that you might find of interest at www.etyoga.com is the XYZ meditation. And that's a Bashar creation. I give my version of it, and pleased to share that with you at this time.
I'd like to share with you the XYZ extraterrestrial meditation. First, you need to get really relaxed, either lying down or sitting comfortably or even standing up, whatever is the most comfortable for you. I then suggest taking a couple of deep breaths and imagine yourself in your perfect place of peace. You haven't a worry in the world and are just relaxing in your perfect place of peace. Then imagine the following. Around the area of your heart or solar plexus, just behind that area, is a bright ball of white light. It is a packet of energy that is your essence. This star that you feel inside yourself, this ball of light, now grows and grows and grows in intensity and gets stronger and stronger and stronger until it bursts forth as a beam of light, a laser-like beam bursting out of the front of you and stretches as far as you can imagine infinity to be. Stretching, stretching out as a beam of light beyond the solar system, beyond the Milky Way galaxy, and beyond, going faster and faster and faster all the way to infinity. But it is also elastic, so as it reaches infinity, it slows down and will stop and turn around, and as a solid beam, it will creep back towards you from the far reaches of infinity, faster and faster and faster and faster and faster, until it comes crashing through the center of your body and through you and out your back and all the way to infinity out the back, all the way out, further, further, until it reaches infinity, and it returns, but a little faster now. And faster and faster and faster until it too crashes through you, out the front, all the way to infinity. But it returns even faster now, out the back and out the front, and out the back and out the front, and out the back and out the front, and out the back and out the front. Back and forth, 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 back and forth. And out the front, and out the back, and out the front, and out the back, and out the front, and back and forth, and back and forth, and back and forth. And let yourself get used to this idea. And then when it gets right in the middle of your body, it crashes out the left side all the way to infinity, and back out the right side all the way to infinity, and turns and comes back through the center, out the left side, and back out the right side, and side to side, and side to side, and front and back, 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 until you get used to the idea. And then you have created an X and Y axis. Now another beam goes crashing through your head up all the way to infinity and turns around and comes crashing back through your head and out the bottom and up and down 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 and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side. And it begins to build, begins to build until an infinite number of rays fly out simultaneously to infinity and stay there. You are suspended on beams of light, and you are stabilized at infinity. You hang there for eternity at infinity. Then you start to notice little bits of pulses, symbols, and signals, like a web that you are in the center of. Bits of information coming and going from every dimension and every space and time that exists. Every doorway and every gateway and forms and ideas and messages and communications like a giant matrix. You feel the ebb and flow of the infinite possibilities from every space and time, from front and back and side to side and up and down, clickety-clack, 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 clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clack. Now send out one large pulse on every line outward and receive one large pulse coming back like a heartbeat. Boom, 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 boom. And now you're starting to sense a larger infinite mass mind behind this heartbeat, this pulse. It's like a gigantic awareness, one soul, one mind. You are suspended in the center of eternity. Boom, 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 boom. Now, with every heartbeat, a new breath, a new awareness, a new perspective, a new experience, a new sensation, a new dimension, a new galaxy, forever, forever, new, new, new. And now all the beams expand until you are surrounded in a sea of light that is becoming more transparent until it is like a bubble, but you can still hear it. Boom, 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 boom. You can feel the seed of all that is. And as the blood flows from your own heart, as the seed of the infinite of all that is, on that pulse you are connected from every direction and any direction simultaneously. And every time you remember your heartbeat, you will feel connected to this heartbeat. Be in your perfect place of peace and feel your heartbeat. Now, take a deep breath and feel refreshed, feel loved, and feel energized.
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time.